I am the very model of a modern major general. Do you know the rest?
No. And if I did, I wouldn't sing it.
Rodgers and Hammerstein. Come on, let's go.
No.
That's how this show is. Welcome to the Backpack Show, where we cover songs, lyrics, music. Something. That
is, no, that's inaccurate. Dad jokes.
Welcome to the Backpack Show. Dad jokes, food reviews. We do stupid tricks like put hot sauce in our eyes. I don't know.
Why we talk about business success and bring you insights from unusual places that you can then apply to your own endeavors.
Now, if only we had a guest today, wouldn't the show run so much better?
We do have a guest today. How about that? Oh. We have filmmaker Tanya McCornell. She is the founder of the Mom Film Fest. So we're going to talk to her about her own creative work and also about getting moms back on set.
We're going to get back to the set. This is a big day today. We've got things to do.
It's Friday.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
Months and months and months, and I could still occasionally cut you off. Yes. Friday.
You make a real effort. Hello, hey, Coach Woodard. Woodard. Your biological mom is here.
My biological mother, the one who brought me birth. Her husband, my father, Steve Brogan, who's genetically half of my makeup.
It's a good Every day. Once in a while, Foster. I like to tell my kids, hey, you're welcome, like for your life. They're being a smart ass or something.
Listen, Chloe's if this is your best. First time, Chloe is the best. I know. I may or may not have seen a preview of something Chloe has worked on recently.
And, she's a Squarespace web developer, and she is phenomenal. So if you need any website development, Chloe Forbes Kinlan.
Len Joy, author Len Joy is here. He will be actually a sponsor of the Backpack Show next week.
I love Len. See his book. I have one of his books right there.
Paul Bond, who has sent me many hats, but never a single eclair, is here. Hi, Paul.
Well, that's tough to mail an eclair from Ireland.
It's really not the best place to send them from.
No.
You know, if you want to make a show like this, it's like Fight Club. You have to comment if we don't know you're here if you don't comment. But also, as we get ready to talk to Tanya McCornell, we've got to get some ads out of the way. So look, covered by StreamYard. That's what you're watching this on right now. Make your own damn show. See Brogan.me/StreamYard. You could do it any which way you want. It'll be so much fun.
Like, I mean, would it kill you to hit return a couple times so your logo doesn't go over the link?
No. I'll find some new ducks. That's what I'll do. Those ducks are too tall.
Oh.
I need shorter ducks. That's clearly the problem with this.
You could
graphic.
breed them smaller. It's a long That's game right. we're playing, but hopefully StreamYard will still be sponsoring by the time those ducks hatch.
You know, so far, so much love. And thank you, YouTube, for sending me all of your tired and your weary for all those StreamYard ads. I'm going to do one more ad read, which is we're sponsored by PubSite. PubSite is made by FSB Associates. If you're an author, this is the technology you need, pub-site.com. It makes an author website in just a couple hours. I mean, it's no Chloe Forbes Kinlan, but in just a couple hours, you get a
it's
hold
so
of
easy,
website.
Though. It's so easy.
So easy. Let's grab Tanya McCornell or McCornell.
Why don't you just ask her instead of guessing McCornell? About it in here?
Fix us, Tanya. What is it?
It's McCornell.
Oh, okay.
That's what I use.
You were getting all fancy. I felt like, yeah. Blame it on the ducks.
Blame it on the ducks. Why don't
it's all the ducks' fault.
Eclairs do not travel well, says Paul. I have to agree. If somebody mailed you an eclair from overseas and it wasn't like on ice or something, wouldn't you
I'd
be
eat
like,
it.
Don't. I'll be hosting the show by myself.
If you ever want to kill me, just put food in the mail. I will eat it. Tanya, I want to start with your reel. We have your reel that we found on YouTube, and I just want to start there because that'll give people just a little taste. Little flavoring of what you got going on in your life.
Sure.
So sit back a second.
There's sound. Did you do sound?
Yes.
Broken, right? It's made to glorify the white and the blue, vilify the black and the brown. Well, that system has left me no other choice but to take matters into my own hands. This should be good. Open the door.
Nah, chill out. I don't even know who that is. You know these crazy chicks out here.
I know you're in there, LaMarcus.
I'm not leaving, so you better open this door.
You don't know her, huh? Let me get that for you.
I get it. So you're not down for the cause.
Listen, I really respect what you're doing here. You have no idea what I went through to get this job, especially for being a foreigner.
I have no idea what it's like. Says the white chick.
This has got to stop. I don't know what's wrong with you, but this isn't funny. You know what? That's it. You're not going trick-or-treating tomorrow.
I didn't mean it, Mama. Please, give me another chance.
Go to bed now. I'm too upset. I can't even think straight. You better go to your room and stay there.
The look. We all know the look.
We love helping other moms, but we also have a lot of fun helping each other, too.
We're going to lather this chicken up really good, put it in our roasting pan, and put it in the oven. So
I'm going to touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're fine.
Yay.
I love it.
Yay. So fun.
My kids know that look fun. Too. That look when you're like,
we know that look.
Yep. That is the look.
It's the look.
Hey, Leslie, Carol. Slim Jim Longfoot's here. Oh, I realized I have background still playing YouTube. Because why wouldn't I?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Great. What's your favorite movie, Chris? Of the three you just saw sampled or like generally or four? Oh, you're still playing it.
Oh, now I'm going to replay the reel.
Stop it. It is very very fun to watch. Very fun to watch. The mom looks a Slim Jim. Right.
It's a real thing.
Right? That's the thing. Like, that's the key to good parenting when you're out in public and you like can't yell at them. You have to be like, that look has to work.
Exactly.
Or everything.
They got to know like, you mean business.
Right? It just falls apart.
Now, clearly, I could tell by that reel that you have really adhered to the concept that superhero movies are the remainder of the genre. We have to only make superhero movies. And I'm just wondering what the powers were of some of these different characters, because I could see some of their, they seem like some of them had like relationships and stuff, but oof. But like, didn't they have motivation? Were they bitten by radioactive spiders? What happened?
Listen, the mom look, I think that's a superpower in itself. So that's the main one.
Well, then there's the look when you open the door for another woman while at your significant other's house.
Oh, goodness.
That's another look.
That was a fun one.
Yeah. You have to master that look.
Where do your where do these stories come from? What are you pulling from when you're making these?
The majority of them are from some sort of personal experience. You know, the one about police brutality, I came up with that after the Philando Castile verdict came back as an acquittal. And it's named Travia to honor Trayvon Martin. You know, as a Black woman, I have Black family members. You feel like at some point this could be, it could hit home. It could hit very close to home. And whenever I'm making films, I want to have a message behind it. I want to people think and start dialogues.
Touching buttons. You're no longer allowed to touch buttons.
Are y'all battling with the buttons back there?
You know, I wanted to make Tanya bigger, and I just realized I don't know how to do what I'm trying to do. So
hey, Dodo, here.
No, I know that one. I wanted to see if I could put us on the side.
She's bigger.
Ooh, that is too big.
You're a filmmaker. You could be big
behind
on
the scenes. Yeah, I'm not in front of the camera.
So were you always a filmmaker? Like when you were, say, your daughter's age, were you as creative as she is now?
You know, we were making commercials, you know, my best friends making commercials and ads about different restaurants and things. So I think I definitely always had the bug, but it wasn't until I was older that I decided, you know, I want to be behind the camera telling the stories and not in front of the camera.
One thing I was noticing throughout the process is that your actors are more or less towards the indie side of things as well. They're early in their careers, some of them, and they're bringing a new experience. How do you pick who you pick? Who's working these films with you?
We go through the casting process, and then I also work with a lot of actors. I'm in an organization called the Black TV and Film Collective. So for my first two films, we really used the crew and the team from that, and they've been amazing. They're still part of my film family. Even for my third film, I developed relationships with a lot of those teams. So it depends, you know, it might be someone that I have a relationship with, where I know that actor and I write a story particularly for them. Claudia Nell McCoy is the lead in a lot of my films, and it had gotten to a point where I was writing and I knew that's who I wanted to portray the character in the film.
For the guy, you were like, you just had to have abs. And
listen, I figured we should get some shirt off. You know, there's a part in there where he takes it off and he does like a little dance. So yeah.
You gotta look,
I wanted to give us eye candy.
Innocent, but not convincing. And have abs.
That works.
You know, whatever works.
Now, making films is hard enough. I mean, doing this just for you, that's hard enough. Why make a festival? That seems like a lot of work.
You know, it was during the pandemic. I had applied for a grant. It was for women over 40. And well, I tried to apply for this grant is what I should say. It opened at 10 a.m. on a Monday. I got my kid together, got her lunch, 12:30. I'm like, okay, I'm going to apply for this thing. And when I went to apply, it said the link expired. So I reached out to the company. And as I'm looking on their website, it says, due to an overwhelming demand, we had to shut down the submissions. And so I got really bummed because I was like, I'm claiming this grant. It's mine. Universe, give it to me. And I moped for a good 2 hours. And then I said, you know, what can we do during this time to celebrate moms right now? Because I know a lot of us were dealing with this remote learning and we're trying to be the teacher and the mom and the nurse, and it's too much. And I know I have access to these communities of moms who are filmmakers. So I said, why don't we do an online film festival? And that's where the story began. I reached out to my friend, Anthony Richards. He does the tech stuff with the website. And I said, do you think this is something we can do? I want to do it quick. I want to have a short submission window. We only opened submissions for 4 weeks because I was just putting out feelers to see if there was interest. And there was. And it was really exciting. I don't know how it's the first film festival for moms, but it is. And I'm just happy that the community is involved, and we're heading into year two now, so it's exciting.
And when people call you saying their submittal was a little bit late, do you cut them some slack because of your experience?
No.
I said midnight.
I share. I'm like, this is a situation. That's the one thing I can't. The deadline is the deadline. Don't hit me up after the deadline has passed because I don't know you.
No. If we were friends, it'd be different.
I'm very forgiving, you know, but with that, I'm just like, no.
Old fast phone deadline. Who dis?
You know, you got to learn the hard way. That's what they say. So what do you think about filmmaking is uniquely challenging for moms? Because I think even before the pandemic and all the extra things we've had going on, it was not the easiest thing.
No, it wasn't. And I have a lot of moms who are mothering in the shadows. You know, they are afraid of being considered a liability or incapable of doing their jobs. So even for our festival, the first year, I know of women who are cinematographers and DPs, and I know that they're moms, and I would reach out because I wanted them to help and be a judge. But publicly, they have not admitted that they're mothers because they know they're going to be looked at differently. You know, it'll be like, oh, well, you have this child, so this is going to be an issue where you need to get home, or if the kid gets sick. So that is something that we are still struggling with. But I think one of the biggest challenges for filmmakers who are mothers is that we're asked to find a work-life balance in an industry that is not balanced. Some mornings I may need to be on set at 6 a.m. Some mornings, you know, if we're doing an overnight shoot, I might have to be there at 1 a.m. So it's very tricky on top of dealing with our own personal schedules and personalities and things that go on in life. We also have to now deal with the children. And I only have one kid. So I really commend the moms who have more than one because you're juggling and trying to make it work for so many other people.
It's also tricky, I've been told, to rock a rhyme. And there are other things that are tricky. It's
tricky too, but sometimes.
Here we go, Chris. Don't encourage
him. Cannot do it. You also point out, you know, that another thing that's important in the film industry that's not as important almost anywhere else, at least not so vividly and directly, you're a woman of a certain age. You're in your earliest 40s now. So, you know, you rock it, clearly, but that's in film, that's a thing as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Eternal youth and all that. So when you get to make these movies, you get to pick the cast, you get to pick what kinds of stories you're telling. Does that influence the festival? Does that influence you?
I think for the festival, last year we received films that covered just about every theme you can think of. Yes, there was a majority of films that spoke to our experiences as women and as moms. We had films about postpartum depression and birth. There were also films about a mom whose son committed suicide and she wanted to follow his journey and find out what was happening leading up to that. We had films about immigration rights, women's rights, just everything you could think of. So for me, I think it's about storytelling, and we look for story-based projects so they can share whatever story it is that's in their hearts to tell. I don't know that my filmmaking work and the stories that I tell really affects how I'm viewing other people's, because what I try to do is watch the film and not look at who the filmmaker is, because that's something that will sway me. If I know, oh, this filmmaker, I know her struggle. I've been there. I've done that. When I'm reading their bios, that's what really like tugs at my heartstrings. So I try to watch the films so I can be as unbiased as possible. And then I go back and look and try to see who this filmmaker is and what is the story that they're trying to tell and the themes that they want to share.
Naz has a question. Is this the first edition of the Mom Film Fest?
This is our second year we're going into for 2021. So our submissions are now open. We did more of a traditional film festival structure for this year, where we have the early bird submissions, we have the regular, and then we also have the late. And the submission fee, it was important for me to keep it low because I am a single mom and these festival fees can add up when you're doing the festival circuit. Yeah. So they start at 10 and then the highest will get to 20 for the late deadline. But the festival itself will take place in August online.
Chloe says, what's more challenging, putting together the festival or making a film yourself?
I think they're both pretty challenging, and I label myself as a producer who will produce by default when I have to, but somehow I'm always putting things together. I would say they're both pretty challenging. You know, I feel like this whole thing with the early bird submissions just came up out of nowhere is what it feels like, because there isn't a day that I'm not working on the festival in some aspect. But I would say that there's, I don't know, it's a lot of work to do a festival because you're managing a lot of other people and a lot of other things. Whereas for my films, I have, the list is not as long, I would say.
Just yourself and then the people that you commission to be in it, and work on it and that sort of thing. Yeah.
And totally. It's for a certain amount of time. You know, we might film over a month and then we're in post, and you know, there's phases that go in and out. With this festival, it's like, we're on.
Does your daughter have a Screen Actors Guild card now?
You know, I tried to get the kid seeing if she wanted to be in front of the camera and do that. And I have other filmmaker friends who've asked, you know, will she be in my film? And she's not interested in that. She likes to write her own script. So she is her mother's child is what I can say there.
I'm so glad that they never asked my kids, because they would have been like, hell yes. Oh. Taken off. And I would have been finding a way to shuttle them from Nashville.
When we need kids again, we're gonna hit you up in Nashville. Well, bring them over to Brooklyn.
My child, my oldest is now, he's 15, but he's 6'2", and he sounds like Barry White. It's like ridiculous. Really, it's bad.
Really,
I mean, like, it's not bad, but you know what I mean? It's like, he doesn't look 15.
Yeah, he's not playing the kid.
No, my youngest is 12 and a half. He still has like the little cheeks and stuff.
Oh,
I know. Oh, but sweet. My other one's like, hey, mama, how's it going? I'm like, oh. Who is this man that's broken into my home? It's crazy. Eating all my food.
Well, the Backpack Show, where we talk about lots of kids, we're sponsored by Online.
Whatever. You talk about whatever you want. You talk about a loaf of bread you had at like a bakery one time in Iowa. I can talk about this.
I love bakeries. I love Iowa. Have you been to Iowa? It's great there. Seabrogen.me/online is where you can get your own .online domains. You get a momfilmfest.online if you didn't already have the best.
There was this time I was in Iowa and Martin Scorsese came by and we ate pastry at this place.
Hey, want to make a podcast? Castos.com.
Okay. Shut up. Did my ad read. That's so we could have like an audio show.
By the way, here's what I love. I love on even on the front page, you got a little sling baby there in the making picture.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. I like got a show. We're out here doing it.
But the topics are, it's just a breathtaking array of topics that moms tackle in their films. I think there's a temptation for people to be like, oh, well, women directors tell women's stories and moms must tell mom stories. No, they just can tell any story.
Any story, however it's affected their lives through their viewpoint, it's really beautiful. We had a couple of kind of gory films and they were beautiful. You know, I'm sure this year I've seen a few of the submissions and there are some horror. So it's fun. Whatever stories they want to tell, they're going to tell. And I am excited to see and share and help increase the visibility for these fabulous filmmakers.
For the aspiring filmmakers out there, Annette's making 3-minute mini movies right now, and she's kind of dipping her toes in all this sort of a thing. What's your big advice? How do you get someone from being someone who is starting to trust that they can turn on the lens and do some things into being someone who eventually submits something to the Mom Film Fest?
I think you've got to get out there and do it. You know, so many of us get stuck in that, well, I'm not ready, or it's not good enough. It is. You have to keep making. So what happens for me is when I watch my first film up to my most recent, I know a lot of people will cringe when they watch their first creation, but I don't. I'm really proud because I see the growth in it. And I can see, oh, well, that's where, you know, maybe that camera angle was a little weird, or, you know, you're learning things as you're going. But I think the best advice I would give is to go for it. Don't talk yourself out of it. We have a great community. We lean on each other and support each other. And so come join us. But make the movie. That's definitely, you've got to start there.
I noticed that you're still shooting fairly traditionally. You're using you know, pretty good sized big guy cameras and all that sort of a thing. But a lot of people are shooting on their iPhone and it is just as well. And
absolutely,
it looks just as pro. And there are situations now where if you've got the chance to rent a Red camera for a day or just use the iPhone, some people are still picking the iPhone. You want to talk a little bit about that in your filmmaking and also in sort of what you're seeing in the land of submissions right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're still seeing a lot of more traditional, but we are getting, I'm not sure who mentioned the 3-minute films. We're getting those micro films as well. I got a few that were under a minute and those were done on the iPhones and they're beautiful, you know? So I think it's more about the talent than the tool, and people can misunderstand that and get caught up in, oh, I need, you know, a Red or I need a Black Magic. Like, once you have the eye for it and you're practicing and you're creating the stories and telling the stories that you want to tell, it'll all fall into line.
What about networking? Like, it's one thing to support one another as a community. It's another to get access to the resources that like male filmmakers have had for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. So how does that work?
Yeah, we do come together. I also run the Moms Network for New York Women in Film and Television. So we have a really great network and access to resources there. And we'll do monthly mixers or meetings where we get together and we speak about different topics that relate to us as filmmakers or relate to us as moms. Because I think it's really important to know who's who and have access to each other. And we'll have guest speakers come in and talk to us about contracts, law, taxes, you know, things that as creatives we may not be paying as much attention to, but we need to.
Yeah, because they're not sexy, but they're super important.
They're not sexy at all.
Yeah, totally.
And we're creative. So, you know, it's like, I don't want to do that stuff, but we have to. So, yeah.
We talked to a lot of totally lost my train of thought. We talked to a lot of female people of color entrepreneurs who say that like 70% of the time they have no access to the funding and all that. You just mentioned how bad it is in the film industry as well. It sounds like it's tracking just as similarly. You're having trouble getting these things funded. You're having trouble convincing people why this would be a worthwhile investment. How are you helping break that border for other people?
Well, we're creating programming that will help get moms back into the industry and back on set. What we're doing is, aside from applying for grants, we are looking to partner with different companies and brands that will sponsor some of our initiatives. One is a childcare grant for moms who are in need. Another is a shadowing program for moms who are returning to the industry after taking, some of them take years off to raise their families and have to start over when they come back. So we want to do almost like an internship where they can get reacclimated and they're not penalized for doing that. And the other is to have monetary awards for our winning filmmakers so they can put that towards their next film. There's also a gap there with women as filmmakers, also as moms. It takes a longer time for us in between project number three and project number four. So we're working on ways to help women get back in there and show that we can do this. We're here for it.
Can I spoil one thing in the interest of demonstrating how much I like your writing? Is that okay?
Okay.
Atravia, there's this part where the main character comes in and she's talking to her best friend about how she wasn't able to kill a guy, basically. And her best friend grabs a shovel and she's like, we got to finish this thing.
We all need that ride or die.
That's okay? What I was you thinking. Have to have that. It's like, she just leaves. She opens the door and leaves. I'm like, oh, she's out. She comes back with a shovel.
But you have to remember, right? These are short films, so there's always more to the story. There's more that we can share. But that ride or die was really important.
It was so good. It was so good. So Naz says, is this USA-centric or international, your film festival?
Oh, it's everywhere. So our submissions, we take them through Film Freeway. This year, we've already received submissions from the UK and Canada and Mexico. Last year, we got films from Nigeria and Spain, and wherever you are, send us the film.
From your phone.
From your phone, hey.
I didn't even know what Film Freeway was. Intergalactic. So I was just smiling politely. bye, Deanna, by the way. Thank you. And good show yesterday. Tanya, the other thing I was thinking about was that, and you pointed this out a bit, it's an interesting world right now. Everybody's home with the pandemic. Everybody is a business person, a school marm, trying to find some of their creativity, hoping maybe just for a wee amount of 6 foot apart social life. It's crazy all the things that get run. Females have been massively decimated in this time.
Call us females.
Well, women, chicks, broads, ladies.
Women is good. Women covers it.
Women's fine.
Have been decimated as far as jobs and in the studies. The statistics say that there's far fewer female workers. Yeah. More female workers remained unemployed in this last year than ever
before.
And the
percentage of women in the workforce is at the lowest it's been for like 30 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just want to get your take on that and just sort of, is this another way back?
Well, oh yes, it has to be a way back. But, you know, it's interesting because we're doing this for women in our industry, but it's for women as moms everywhere. And it's really frustrating to hear the headlines that say, you know, women left the labor force like it was our decision, you know.
Right. Because like I don't need to work anymore.
We got this big number, 865,000 women left the workforce in September. And it's like, well, if you think about it, what happens to the majority of the country in September? The kids go back to school. So, and the women are not paid as much as their male counterparts if they're, you know, in a relationship, they're married, have their husbands or their partners. So it's usually the woman who has to step back from the job. She's making less money. So she's going to be the one who stays home with the kids. And that's pretty crushing. You know, I'm a woman who likes to work. I mean, I love my child, obviously, but I need my time away. I want to be out working and creating, and this is the career that I'm in. So we have to figure out a way to help bring us back and really pay attention to what is going on, especially with moms right now. I think it's hard to have these conversations about women, and even within our some of the women-led or women-focused groups, there isn't a conversation about moms. So we're trying to shift that and really increase the visibility and raise awareness so we can make some changes, because it's necessary.
Some of the women won't even admit that they're moms. Like, breaks my heart.
That's exactly what it does for me too, because can you imagine this huge part of your life that you're not able to share out of the fear that you won't be able to get work?
And no one thinks that about men, Tanya.
No,
men have
not
kids.
At all.
They can talk about them all the time. Pictures of them at work.
Not at all. It's, you know, if the dad brings the kid to school, it's like, he's such a great dad. But, you know, mom's doing it every day. I have nothing against dads or non-parents, you know, and even for the festival, if you look at what it says on the submissions, anybody can enter pretty much any of the categories, but they have to have a mom in a leadership role on the project. So the mom has to be the producer, the cinematographer, someone. The only categories where it would have to be the mom herself is for best director or best cinematographer. But we also have a category for mom themed. And last year, that was our second most popular category. And I had a lot of men submit stories that were about their mothers and the journeys they were on with the moms in their lives. So it was really beautiful.
That's interesting, because I had a question I was thinking about raising and I didn't raise it. Is there space for transgendered people in the Mom Film Fest?
Yeah, there's anyone who, if you identify as a mom, this is a place for you. You know, the beauty of the mom demographic that I hope sponsors and brands will pay attention to is that we run under every category. You know, my youngest filmmaker last year was 24. My oldest filmmaker was 72. And I had women from every religion, you know, the LGBTQ plus community. We have disabled moms. Like, everybody fits into the demographic of moms. So that's what we have to pay attention to as well. It's not, we're not excluding anyone by any means. It's open to any and everyone, whoever identifies as a mom.
Carol says, I look forward to the day when we talk about parents, not moms. That will show we've reached a better place in terms of gender equality.
Yeah. And, you know, I think of parents, obviously, as the general term. But right now, our focus is moms, because the moms need the most help. You know, we're still not paid the same. The responsibilities are different, whether they're societal or familial. So that's why moms are our focus. That's why we're celebrating these moms and we're uplifting the women in our industry.
Yeah, dads are doing all right.
Does that response, Tanya, when you said that, I immediately thought all lives matter.
That's exactly what it reminds me of.
Is that what you were thinking? Yeah.
That's what it feels like when people are like, oh, but moms, or why moms? And because we are not where we need to be yet. You know,
you don't get Carol's the grants.
Carol's saying it because of gender, you know, reasons and whatnot. But I all of a sudden, when you said it, I got it. And I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, well, you know, because the dads don't have problems getting grants. They don't have problems getting their you know, quoted rate for things.
Yeah, and they're not concerned that will a dad be able to make it into work?
Right.
There's not an issue of, oh, well, you have a kid. I don't know if you're going to be able to come and do this job. I don't know if you'll be able to leave the country for a month. That's not something that is a concern. But when it's a mom, it's a completely different bias.
And very unspoken.
For sure.
Yes.
Usually unspoken.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Tanya McCornell, we went on a journey with you today. There was so much. Oof. We had so many things we had to pick up and learn. Smarter for it now. Women or females. Time to pick a person of the day.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
You know who I'm going to give it to? I don't know, even know if there's.
I never know who you're going to give it to.
Aiden said, hey, listening with Kate Colgan. So if Kate has brought us a new friend in Aiden Cobb, then we're going to say hi to Aiden.
Welcome. So. Yeah, I never know who you're going to pick. It's anybody's guess right up to the last second.
So we're at that part of the journey where we have to ask this one very important question to you, which is, what goes in your backpack? The world's crazy. Everything's moving. It's shifting sands. Who knows what's coming next? We don't. We have to put some things in our little backpack to move us forward a little bit, but it isn't necessarily that you could bring everything. So can you bring one physical thing? You could bring one metaphorical thing. Mm-hmm. What's something that goes in the backpack? Carrie, let me ask you a question. What's a good example of a physical item that could go in the backpack?
Extra set of teeth. DJ Cumberbund's answer. He's a YouTuber who does remixes on YouTube, and they're amazing. And he dresses like Macho Man Randy Savage, and he was like extra set of teeth. We were like,
he's also a freelance butcher in Brooklyn, so he's around the hood.
Okay, he's in my neck of the woods. He is. With his extra set of teeth. We're gonna have to talk about that.
Well, if you need one, got one.
I wasn't looking, but I don't know if you saw, if you posted Kat's thing already. Kat's my ex-wife. Moms get the question, how do you balance work and family? But dads never get asked that question.
That's absolutely.
So right.
Very true.
So what's a metaphorical thing you could put in a backpack carry?
Kindness.
Kindness. That sounds like a really good one.
Right?
I like that.
Isn't that sweet?
I like that.
So sweet.
The kind of person who'd say kindness would be very sweet.
I think so.
Heidi McCornell, what are you going to add to our backpack today?
I'm going to add the value of one's time, because I feel like a lot of us, especially in this pandemic era, everything is go, 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 now, now, now. And we need to understand that our time is valuable. Even if we are at home and everybody thinks you should have time to complete, you know, your script. When the pandemic first started, everybody's like, now's the time, finish your film. My brain cannot really function at this moment to think of the creative, because we're in a very tough space. So I had to remind myself, take a step back, set office hours. These are the times that you can reach me. This is when my emails will be responded to. I put a little signature on my email, Carrie, I'm sure you've seen it. But that's to let people know, like, this is when I'm available, and to let myself know this is when I'm available. Because I found I would sit in front of this computer for 20 hours, wouldn't get up sometimes, just here, because I feel like I need to respond to people and engage with people. And I wasn't taking the best care of myself. So I had to remind myself, my time is valuable. Make time for yourself. Some mornings I'll dance for an hour. I might have a little wine at 10 a.m., do what I want to do. But, you know, I make sure I'm finding that time and doing things within a certain allotment and taking breaks.
Well, that sounds a lot like my Uncle Phil. So my Uncle Phil would pull out the keyboard or the guitar anytime he felt like it. It didn't matter what else was going on. And one time he pulled out the keyboard.